On a Wednesday, you're with us here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we'll bring you that live NPR coverage of former special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony to Congress beginning at 7:30. Stay with us for that. But first, we've heard that Wisconsin is ground zero for the 2020 election, that the path to the White House runs through the Midwest, particularly here in Wisconsin. But we want to take the focus off presidential politics for just a moment to see how Wisconsin congressional races are shaping up ahead of 2020. Are you hoping that one party or the other will be able to flip one of the state's congressional districts? Which district seems a likely contender? Is there a candidate who you've got your eye on, or is there someone you'd like to see jump into a race? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Brianna Riley is a state politics reporter for the Capital Times. Brianna, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me this morning.
So here we are, like 15 months out from 2020 elections, presidential race being such a focus. What is happening in congressional districts? Do you see any movement?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, although we're so far out from the 2020 cycle, it's important to remember that there are no state races on the ballots this year. So theoretically, there could be more of a focus on these eight congressional district seats. For the most part, according to the Cook Political Report's rankings as of earlier this month, not many are competitive. There's only one that kind of falls into the competitive category, and that's still a likely Democratic seat, the 3rd congressional district in western Wisconsin, currently held by Ron Kind, a Democrat. But, you know, we're still seeing some people kind of emerging from the woodwork to run in those other seats. For example, Representative Amanda Stuck, who is a state representative that was first elected to her district in the Appleton area in 2014. She announced last weekend, that she is planning on running to challenge Congressman Mike Gallagher in the 8th congressional district. So that's a, you know, she's a pretty serious candidate, given her state office experience. So that's something we're definitely keeping an eye on. And then in the 6th congressional district, which is held by Glenn Grothman, and that's more in eastern Wisconsin. Glenn Grothman's a Republican, and I think he's in his third term right now. He's seeing a challenge from a first-time candidate, Matt Bohr, who is this 40-year-old man who's lived in the district for about 10 years. And he just has a lot of experience in the renewable energy sector. So he's hoping to kind of harness his knowledge and, you know, really kind of, I guess, better represent the constituents if he should win his bid.
You referenced this Cook report and looking at competitiveness of House seats. What does this report have to say about Wisconsin? How do they do this?
Yeah, so we have 8 congressional district seats in Wisconsin, 5 of which are held by Republicans. The other 3 are democratically held. And I actually kind of wrote this down this morning because I could not remember the phrasing, but they listed the 3rd congressional district. So the 7 of the 8 congressional districts aren't competitive at all. One of them is, and that's the 3rd CD, which I mentioned earlier, but it's still categorized as likely Democratic. And this means, according to them, that the seat isn't currently considered competitive, but has, quote, the potential to become engaged. So so they update these ratings, you know, as we go along cycle, and they might move that seat into a more, you know, lean Democrat or lean Republican or one of those central categories if the seat does get more competitive. But yeah, they look at a variety of factors in these ratings.
So in the 3rd congressional district, it's a seat held by Democrat Ron Kind, and he's been in office in the seat since 97, so over a couple decades. Why isn't he considered a lock for this district?
The district itself is pretty... I've heard from some people, if Ron Kind were to retire, we might have a problem as Democrats trying to hold the seat. So there is the potential for it to become competitive, but with a strong incumbent with high name ID like Ron Kind, who is very adept at fundraising. I mean, I looked at the recent the most recent fundraising reports that are filed with the Federal Elections Commission, and the reports for quarter two, which cover the second 3-month period of the year, were filed, and he still has the biggest war chest, $2.6 million in the bank. So he's very good at raising money, safeguarding that and deploying it whenever he does have a challenger.
We're talking about Wisconsin congressional races well ahead of the 2020 election. Brianna Riley is a state politics reporter for the Capital Times. You can join in 800-642-1234. Is there a candidate you've got your eye on, or is there someone you'd like to see jump into a particular race? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. So let's look at Democratic State Representative Amanda Stuck, who is looking to challenge Republican U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher in that 8th congressional district. Tell us a little bit more about Representative Stuck.
Sure. She's 36 years old. Like I mentioned before, she was first elected to the 57th Assembly District in the Appleton area back in 2014. So she's held the seat for a number of years now. And the seat is a reliably Democratic one. So she's really taking a risk here in launching a bid for Congress. The 8th congressional district, like, you know, we've referenced with the Cook Political Report rankings, is very safely, very reliably Republican. Mike Gallagher is a, you know, very good fundraiser. He's in his second term now. So, you know, some are wondering if she missed an opportunity to challenge him when he was more vulnerable. But also, when you look at his fundraising, I mean, he just let me reference those FEC numbers that I looked at earlier. I mean, he raised $510,808 in 3 months, the second 3 months of the year, which makes him the second highest fundraiser among the 8 incumbents in the congressional district. So in addition to that, he has, you know, a lot of money in the bank. He's certainly a, you know, a formidable opponent at this stage of the race.
So if you look at the 8th in recent election cycles, it hasn't always been this secure. If Democrats had to focus their efforts and money on flipping one district in the state, would this be the one in 2020?
That's a great question. So, because you hear some people pointing to the first congressional district, and if we remember back to the last cycle, the first was
Brian Stile, which is in the first, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Brian Stile in the first, who took over for former House Speaker Paul Ryan. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the first congressional district last cycle, there were a lot of hopes that Democrats would be able to flip it in the blue wave year. The same was thought of the sixth congressional district with Glenn Grothman, because he faced a challenge from Dan Cole. But people are still kind of looking at the first congressional district because freshmen are a little bit more vulnerable, right? They don't have as much time to raise money. They do have, obviously, for the most part, higher name ID than a challenger would, but they're still kind of establishing themselves in the district and getting to know constituents. So that, you know, it'll be interesting to see who emerges there on the Democratic side. But there's also a question of really who would emerge. You know, I mean, if you think about notable Democrats in that district, you think of Peter Barca, mm-hmm. Who's obviously a longtime state representative, former congressman, but he's joined the Evers administration. So there's obviously other people like that. But it's really unclear who might emerge and challenge, you know, Brian Stile for that seat, if anyone does emerge.
We're talking about how Wisconsin congressional races are shaping up ahead of 2020. It's early, super early, but there's movement to discuss as we look at across congressional districts. Brianna Riley is our guide helping us do this. She is state politics reporter for the Capital Times. Tell us about your congressional district. Is it considered safe for the incumbent? And if so, how does that make you feel about your vote? What are your thoughts there? Join in at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. On a Wednesday, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And in about 12 minutes from now, we'll be bringing you live NPR coverage of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress on the Russia investigation. So stay with us for that. Hard start there at 7:30. But first, we're checking in on Wisconsin congressional districts that will be in play as we start looking toward November 2020. With so much attention on next year's presidential election, will Wisconsin's congressional races be overlooked? Tell us about your congressional district. Is it considered safe for the incumbent? Is there a candidate you'd like to see enter the race? Join in at 800-642-1234. Brianna Riley is a state politics reporter for the Capital Times, and she stays with us. So let's look at Wisconsin's 5th congressional district, and the seat has been held since 1979 by Republican Jim Sensenbrenner. He's won each re-election handily. So what do we know there?
Yeah, that's a great place to look at because so the 5th congressional district covers the northern and western suburbs of Milwaukee and that kind of region of the state. But there's always some speculation. He's 76 years old. So in recent election cycles, there's been some speculation over whether this will be the year that he steps down, right? Because he is getting up there in age. But each time he comes back and says, you know, for the good of my constituents, I got to stay in office. He hasn't officially announced his intentions to run for re-election again, but I had covered the state Republican Party convention, and he said something kind of interesting there. He basically signaled that he's going to run again. And what he told convention goers was, you know, you, quote, have to be sure to reelect me and the other four Republicans that are Republican congressional incumbents. So he's very clearly, you know, setting himself up for reelection. And that's just interesting because he had some medical issues earlier this year, so there is some speculation that he might not run again. But there's also some rumors, of course, that he might face a primary challenger from the right, just because of some of the votes he's taken in Congress. There was that drama over him being involved in disinviting former Governor Scott Walker in spring from a, I think it was a fundraising event in the district. I'll have to, you know, look back on that. But there's a lot of, you know, a lot of rumors kind of swirling around already in this stage of the race, whether some Republican candidate will get in to try to challenge him.
So let's move on over to the state's 7th congressional district. Congressman Sean Duffy there recently made some headlines. What do we know about what is happening with this district? And is there anyone using recent ammunition against him?
Yeah, so there's no official challenger yet to Sean Duffy. Margaret Engerbretson, I believe is how you say her last name. Yep, she ran, she challenged him last cycle. And she is, she was a first-time candidate for office as well, so seeking a congressional seat. She's an attorney in Balsam Lake, also a veteran. She wasn't very successful in her bid. It wasn't viewed at all as a competitive seat or, you know, a potential Democratic pickup opportunity. But she is looking at possibly running again. So that could be one challenger that kind of emerges again to face Sean Duffy. But we'll see. Again, we're talking about this and we have some early indicators of who's running, but it's still so early that we'll have to keep an eye on that.
He said on the House floor that President Trump's attacks on the four Democratic congresswomen could not be racist because they did not cite anyone's race. How much is President Trump and the presidential politics bleed over to these Congress people who are running for office, re-election?
That's a great question. I mean, if you look at kind of the reactions to those statements on Twitter, or, you know, really social media at all, Congressman Mike Gallagher, you know, back in the 8th congressional district, did reference those. I think he was the first Republican congressman from Wisconsin to do so. But for the most part, you're kind of put in a position as a Republican, do I respond to these comments or do I just kind of keep my head down and continue doing my job and try not to draw further attention to them? So we'll kind of see that continue to play out in the next 15 months.
We're talking with Brianna Riley. She's a state politics reporter for the Capital Times, looking across the state at congressional districts. Moving on to the state's 6th congressional district, we were talking earlier about Congressman Glenn Grothman and already facing some challenges, one from the left, one from the right. What is going on there in that dynamic of the race already?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the 6th Congressional District, like I mentioned before, it was seen as a potential Democratic pickup opportunity in 2018. And what ultimately ended up happening is Glenn Grothman beat back a challenge from Dan Cole, a Democrat and the nephew of former U.S. Senator Herb Cole, and ended up winning by more than 10 percentage points. So a very solid victory on his part, especially because, you know, Dan Cole was pretty well funded, had very high name ID in that district. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Glenn Grothman was first elected to the House in 2014, so he's not vulnerable in the way that others might be. Still relatively new to the House, obviously, but when we're looking at Matt Bohr, a Democrat, challenging him, when you're a first-time candidate, you have a lot of hurdles: fundraising, name ID, just kind of understanding how a campaign works and bringing staffers on. So if Matt Bohr is able to overcome that, he might be able to kind of launch a pretty strong challenge. Obviously, we saw Randy Bice in the 1st Congressional District, and this isn't a direct comparison because Randy Bice had run for office previously. Mm-hmm. And lost, but he, you know, had that very viral campaign video early on in his campaign, which set him up to be a very, very solid fundraiser.
Well, let's pause there on fundraising, because Philip emailed us to say that he thinks it's really sad we must talk money in politics and fundraising. Fundraising, Philip says, has become so important, too important. So how much of an issue is fundraising, and what is in that war chest?
Yeah, it's a huge issue. That's completely, you know, that's for sure. But we see some candidates at the federal level already, and actually some at the state level, too, that are saying we'll only take, you know, grassroots dollars, no big corporation money, no PAC money. We haven't seen that too much in Wisconsin from the current incumbents, but that could always change, you know, as the race progresses. But yeah, fundraising is hugely important. And even if you just have, you know, a couple million dollars built up, I mean, that's a huge obstacle to overcome as a candidate seeking to challenge an incumbent in any of these seats.
Well, let's look at a couple other congressional districts, the 2nd and the 4th. They're considered Democratic strongholds, with Congressman Mark Pocan and representing the Madison area, Congresswoman Gwen Moore representing Milwaukee area. What are they up against, or not up against in their districts?
Yeah, so Congressman Pocan last cycle did not face a challenger. And for the most part, I mean, they're both in very, very safe Democratic seats. So even if someone were to challenge them, it would have to be some sort of red wave here, you know. And obviously, you know, what's going on at the top of the ticket will influence turnout. So depending on who the ultimate Democratic presidential nominee is, that could help drive turnout down ticket. And same with President Trump, that could help drive turnout among Republicans. But even in that case, it would be very, very hard, if not impossible, to flip either of those seats.
Matt from Wausau emailed us to say Matt thinks that Sean Duffy's 7th district is so gerrymandered that it would be really hard for a Democrat to win. How much do election maps play into this?
We definitely hear more about election maps at the state level. There's been a focus, obviously, with the recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions and all of the lead up to that on the state assembly district maps. And, you know, with the next round of redistricting following the 2021 census, the state will have the opportunity to redraw the assembly maps, the state Senate maps, and then, you know, we'll be told how many congressional districts we can have. So if we maintain our 8, I mean, I haven't looked into it too much at the congressional level, the redistricting aspect of it, but that's certainly part of the conversation.
Presidential elections often mean higher voter turnout. Do you think that could move the needle at all in any of these races?
I think it's definitely possible. Like I kind of referenced that before. I mean, we'll see how much enthusiasm there is come November 2020 and, you know, who the eventual Democratic nominee is. But yeah, I'm definitely expecting that will help bolster turnout, as well as some state level races too. You know, like all of the state assembly seats are up, half the state Senate seats are up. So depending on how well those local candidates really appeal to their constituents, that could help drive turnout too in these congressional races.
So as we've been saying, there's still a lot of time between now and Election Day 2020. What are you watching for here as these races continue to develop? Well, what do you have an eye on?
Yeah, really keeping an eye out for who ends up running. And I had mentioned the first congressional district, too, in southern Wisconsin, held by Brian Steil, a Republican. You know, because of his freshman status, some are wondering who's going to emerge to challenge him. So that'll be interesting to look at. Who's going to emerge to challenge Ron Kind in the third congressional district? I mean, I've heard that there's someone working there, and there was just an NRCC poll, I believe, yesterday, I think, or maybe on Monday, that showed an unnamed Republican challenger beating Ron Kind by a couple percentage points in that district. But you know, we don't know who that person is yet. So,
Brianna, thank you for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
Brianna Riley is a state politics reporter for the Capital Times, beginning a preview of what congressional districts are in play as we look ahead to the November 2020 election. Coming up after the news, it's special coverage from NPR with former special counsel Robert Mueller testifying. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.